Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Welcome on in. Come on in, everybody. I see you flicking on to me. Come on in. Back and better than ever, this is the Ron Kelly Show. Now, you see, usually wear a t-shirt when I do my show, but I have a shirt on tonight, right? Because I have a very special guest. Pay this lady some respect. This is Patterson Forth, former Patterson interim mayor, former Patterson City Council president, and incumbent 4th Ward Councilwoman Ruby Cotton.
Yes.
How you doing, Councilwoman?
I'm doing excellent. I'm so happy that you invited me to be here on the show today.
Oh,
I'm really, great. Really happy.
Really, really. And yes. Husband is in the background, so he's skulking around. Mr. Cotton, he's here too.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody said, well, oh man, I mean, just so much going on. And it's just with the coronavirus, and you know, I'm just wondering, Lord, what is going on here? See, people, when I was young and I used to go to church, people used to fall out, you know, catch the Holy Ghost. So y'all need to start catching the Holy Ghost because we got some issues here. Now I remember my mother used to play the piano. And she'd be playing the piano. Next thing you know, she's flying around.
Oh,
so people used to, I don't think catching the Holy Ghost is fashionable no more. But we sure need some now. Everybody, welcome. I've got the coronavirus going on. Oh man, the NBA, St. Patrick's Day parade is canceled. I'm sure there's some stuff in Patterson that's good. We haven't heard from Mayor Sayeg yet, but I'm sure that they lined up some stuff to be canceled over there. And also, I got a lot to talk to you about. We're going to talk to Councilwoman Cotton first, mm-hmm. and then I'll get to my rant and raving after the first break. So, all right. Yeah, I started my show in Patterson some time ago. I used to do the show from Wayne Patterson University. So I follow Patterson politics.
Okay.
So let me ask you, what in the world was you thinking about when you decided to run for the council for the 4th Ward? Because as a matter of fact, I used to talk to Marty Barnes before he passed on before stuff with him. So take us back to the very beginning. I know
this is your third term,
so take us back to the early on when you first got the idea of running for council.
Well, you know what? It started back in the 70s, which I wasn't thinking about it back then, but I was form a group called 4th Ward Coalition. And there's a lady named Marilyn Wilcox. What we started doing was collecting clothes and money for fire victims. And so I started doing that. And after my children, then I married my husband back in the 70s, 75, we got married.
God bless you.
Yeah, we've been married 40 years now. And we was county committee. We was county committee, husband and wife county committee, 4th Ward, 3rd District. And then he decided that he was going to run for office. So, but in the meantime, what I've done was started having my children and then being involved with the schools. I was the PTA president, football mom, basketball mom, and just volunteering. And then when they were sued, if you remember, they had what they called the 32 Abbott districts, and the Abbott district got extra funding.
Yeah, I remember.
We got a lot of extra money for the city. So I started going down to Trenton, marching for things like early childhood, kids to go to school 3 and 4 year old for free, where people back then was paying for daycares or babysitting. So once we were able to do that, then started fighting for all day kindergarten. Back then, all kindergarten was only a half a day. So that kind of kept me going. Once my kids started going to school and my daughter went to college, and I understood what it was to be in college. But my goal was to, and some of the things I fought for, like the academies they have now in the schools, back then, Eastside and Kennedy were not included. And then I fought for them to get academies in those schools. And I think Kennedy now maybe have 6, Eastside maybe have 4. I felt that children needed to have a goal or something to gear them to what they may want to be as they get older. You know, and putting the academies in the classrooms was really exciting for me because a lot of, they had the outsides in the other schools, but they were only taking 100 kids, 200 kids. At that time, Eastside might have had 2,000, Kennedy might have 3,000. Those kids were left out without being part of being in a, an environment where they want to be something later on in life. So that's how, and they were still doing all of this. Besides joining my women's group, I belong to National Health Negro Women for Mary Cloud Bethune. You know, her goal was to make sure we take care of the children and make sure we take care of the seniors. She's the one that opened Bethune-Cookman College selling sweet potato pie. So I started being part of that. Then I ran into my lady friend, Dr. Jessie Dixon, who was wanting to take care.
Dr. Dixon. Who was a guest on the Rockberry Show.
And she wanted to help grandparents who was raising their grandchildren. Because back then, there really wasn't much for grandparents to get to.
Yeah,
help
I'm saying her group, grandparents.
Yeah, grandparents, resource center.
Yeah, something. But she had a name for her group. It was.
And then she had another organization called the State County African American Women 100 Plus, which we still, I'm involved with that. So we still are keeping the Grandparent Center going. We still are keeping the State County African American Women going. To me, there's certain things that need to be still going on. And all during this time, I'm working with Councilwoman Vera Ames.
Yeah, shout out to Councilwoman Ames. She's
she's
a friend of the show. She's been on the show as well.
Councilwoman Ames was a councilwoman for 26 years. And when she decided that she was not going to run, she said, well, Ruby, you know what? You've been working with me all this time. Why don't you run? So I say to people out there, I didn't do all this to run for office. So when she said, when she asked me, I went and asked my husband and my kids. And they said, yeah, Mommy, you kind of been doing it anyhow. You just never had a title to it. You were just doing it. So I decided to run. She supported me. You know, some people say she gave me the seat. No, she did not. I had to run for that. And she just endorsed me to take on that because I find that if you're going to help an elected official, you got to work with them to help them to build the community up like it needs to be built up. So, and that's how I got started. And so, and what I find too, Ron, is that I'm a councilwoman. The only person underneath us is the Board of Education. And what I find is that people forget the other elected officials on top of me. When I say other elected officials, like our freeholders, our state assembly people, our state senators, our U.S. Congress, our U.S. senators. Sometimes there's a lot of things that they can do, too. For the calls I get, I kind of refer it to where I think the level that it needs to go to.
Yeah, because I think that some of the things that go down in Patterson, you know, a lot, especially in the Black community, a lot of these things are national issues, not just Patterson issues with the gun violence, drugs, you know. I'm not sure if the high school, I think the high school dropout rate did improve.
It did improve.
So it's not such a much of an issue anymore. But yeah, a lot of these issues, that what happens in LA happens in New York and so on and so forth, Chicago, St. Louis, whatever. But so you had a foundation going before you decided to run. Okay, so you didn't come in, you came in with some capital.
Well, I believe that, you know, if you're going to think about running for office, you should be part of something in it before. Don't just decide that you're going to run for office and you're not even a member of a church, you're not even a member of an organization. You don't join an organization after you run. You should join it before. Then you know what it is to work. Once you have that work ethic in you, as my husband, I would say, I would get off at 6 in the morning, sleep for 2 hours, go to the store, cook for my son's football team, because I always say if I feed my son, I got to feed everybody. So I would cook for 50, 60 kids because they have Friday night games. So when they had those Friday night games, the kids were not eating from 12 to like 10 at night. So I said that, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, they need to eat something before the game. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like my work habits, I know how to work. I've always worked farm. You know, you got to work sun up to sun down. So I know how to put in long, long hours because my body has to leave in my mindset and my heart is used to doing this. So.
Yeah, so I'm a city boy. So.
I know.
But let me ask you this, man. Uh-huh. It's been quite a little bit of a ride for you since
yes.
you arrived at City Hall. You were mayor for
mm-hmm.
a period of time.
Right.
And you were also the city council president for a period of time. So how difficult was that? I mean, were there times where you just threw your hands up or because I know that you were, there was an X amount of pressure being put on you by people would
right.
remain nameless.
Right.
So how hard was that for you? I know you had your husband to lean
right.
on, but how hard was that for you to be the mayor of
right.
the city of Patterson and also a council president?
Well, even though, you know, I was only there for mayor as 2 weeks, but
that's long enough.
That's long enough. But, I'm already into the work habits. I was doing it anyhow. What I find that, and Ron, let me just say that I retired from my job in 2015. So it's very difficult to be elected official with a full-time job because it's hard to get things done that you need to get done. So I was fortunate enough to get to retire in 2015. And now I'm really a full-time council person. But I have worked with people that helped me when I needed to be off, when I need to change, you know, if I need to be somewhere. Those were helpful, but it's just that being mayor, the law allowed me to be mayor, council president, and fourth ward councilwoman all at the same time. And I knew that I had said many, many times over and over that I was not going to run for being a mayor because, you know, being a mayor takes a lot of energy, and you can see it with the mayor that we have now. It takes a lot of energy. There's a lot of things that you need to do. There's so many events that you need to go to. And events are very important because people then see that you care, just showing up to their 80th birthday, just showing up to their baby shower, just showing up to a basketball game, just showing up. They see that when they see you elected, when they see you, they say, you know what, then you really do care about the city, our people, you care about what you're doing. I say to people all the time, Ron, if you see me, if you need to tell me something, you better catch me when you see me. I don't mind as an elected official to be asked something if I'm at an event or I'm somewhere. And what I have done, Ron, since I've been in office, I have given out over 9,000 cards. So people, I believe that you should say to me, Councilwoman, can I have your card? I should automatically hand it to you.
Right.
And that's so important because someone, and I think about my day back in the day with my mother where we didn't know no elected officials. You know, when we couldn't pay our rent, we didn't have no one to call. You know, we didn't have Catholic Family Services. You know, we didn't have these places that you can go to. So what I find is the only thing I'm doing is giving them information and sending them to the correct place they need to go to. Because back then, we don't know no elected person. We don't know who to call. We just did on each other to do what we had to do. And, you know, we sold many chicken dinners and many sweet potato pies and, you know, just to keep our life going. So I find that it's so important that people need to know who you are and they need to be able to reach out and touch you. That's so important to me. Because I remember back in the day, I wasn't able to reach out. My mom wasn't able to reach out and touch her anymore.
Yes, so you want to change
yeah.
things. Now,
right.
now, the fourth ward has been kind of the, you know, people like a beat up on the fourth
right.
ward because that's where, unfortunately, a lot of the crime takes place. There's been three murders there this
yep.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's averaging like one a month.
Yeah.
Just about.
Right.
Peace be upon the brother, Mr. Covington, I believe his name was, who passed on.
I think his name was Ronald.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know that, you know, It takes the people are going to change
mm-hmm.
a community. No elected official can change a community. But do you take on when people, you know, kick the four wards back in? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know what, Ron? The fourth ward has the most Black associations in the city. I probably have about 15. I started about three of them once I came on the city council. What I've tried to do, and I've done it, and it's been very successful, I would bring my community policing in whenever I could bring in my chief of police, I would bring him in. What I decided to do was, if a business or people had an issue or something, I wouldn't go by myself. I would bring my police director, Jerry Seziel, or I would bring my police chief, Ben, back then it was Troy Oswald, but now we have a new chief. I would bring them in because there's no need for me to take a message back to them. I want them to hear from the person themselves or the issues or the problems that they're having around in their community. And what I found is by bringing in my community police and they work with the Black Association, the people started accepting that they can trust the police. You know what I mean? They can say or they can believe what they're going to do. And they told them different things that they needed to do. And one of the things that I enjoyed that I did was when I kept up my crime prevention through environmental design. And what that was, it was targeting 10th Avenue and Rosa Parks Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were doing, it's becoming more successful, change the way it looks, meaning brighten it up, you know, tell the people in the house to brighten it up. And what we've done, I joined a partnership with Rebuilt North Jersey. And what they've done for me now, they have put over 400 solar lights free in residents in the fourth ward. They have put in smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors. They have put in reflective house numbers. Because if you ever ride in the city, you really can see nobody's house numbers during the
night. Yeah, you
got to
stop and slow
right,
down
gotta,
and look.
Yeah.
And if it's not, forget it.
And
yeah.
Those are little things that are very important that can help a community. I have a lady on the Van Houten Street Black Association where she put up a sign where it says, no prostitution here. And believe me, it worked. And she
was
had
Van Houten
between East 18. Van Houten between East 18, same from East 18 all the way down to St. Carroll Street,
mm-hmm.
going that way. And we formed that Black Association, and the people started to come together in the block and started paying more attention. Bringing my community policing in, they really kind of helped them to show them what they need to do to make their block safe. And what we also did was make the lighting better. Once, you know, people don't want to be in the light. They'd rather be in the dark. So if you don't have no dark spot to be in, you're not going to be there.
Yeah.
You're going to go somewhere else. So,
mm-hmm.
And once you can start increasing the lighting, you'll see the difference that it is. Because now I'm working with the public service because we want to change the LED lights for the lights for the streets to brighten up the neighborhood. And the neighborhood, some neighborhoods really need to be brightened up. So it's working. And people are starting to feel more comfortable with calling me or talking to the police or talking to anybody in the community. They're really feeling more comfortable. And that's what it's about, making them feel comfortable about making a phone call if they need to make a phone call.
Okay, everybody, we apologize to everybody. I know there's people writing stuff. I see the writing. I can't see the writing from here. My eyes are not that good. But I promise I'll get back to you guys. Shout out to everybody who's watching the program, folks from the Fourth Ward, et cetera, et cetera, in the great city of Paterson, New Jersey. So I promise I'll get back to you guys in a little while. But anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more.
Okay.
And the questions are going to get harder.
Okay.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with Paterson Fourth Ward Councilwoman Ruby Cotton. This is The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of The Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show.
And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yeah, we're going to get the...
Okay, all right.
Oh, sorry, everybody. Welcome all back. Right. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Thursday night, 7 p.m. You know what the deal is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Theronkellyshow.com. You know, he stays on top of things, and tonight we have Fourth Ward, Patterson, Fourth Ward Councilwoman. Oh, I'm going to say Vera Ames. Ruby Cotton is in the house with us tonight. Shout out to former Councilwoman Ames, and shout out to, I believe, the Fifth Ward Councilman Velez.
Louis Velez,
yeah, who was here. Matter of fact, who was right here about a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So we'll, you know,
and he's running for re-election.
Yeah, he wants to come back, so we'll get Councilman Velez back.
Okay.
In here. All right, so everybody, Fourth Ward Councilwoman Ruby Cotton, if you got something you want to say, yeah, if I can't really see it because I'm so far away from the phone, but I promise I'll get back to you. Anyone who wants to email the program, it's rkellytalk@aol.com. That's rkellytalk@aol.com. Shout out to the folks out at AMFN Broadcasting Network, who send this radio station to those desolate areas of America. You know, there's people out there, so I know they're going to be watching. So thank you to my folks at the AMFN Broadcasting. Here's a joke, AMFN Broadcasting Network, who do a great job of syndicating the Ron Kelly Show all across this fruited plain. Now, you know, I'm telling you, this Corona, I'm just so sick. I just don't want to. I wonder what the people are doing to drink Corona. Do they not drink it no more? What's going on with that? Anyway, everybody, once again, Fourth Ward Councilwoman Ruby Cotton is here in the house. Now, the second time you ran, you were challenged. You're going to be challenged again by this young man, like 32 years old. Name sounds familiar. You might be a relative of Ernest Rucker. I don't know if it's his son or his nephew. Oh, okay. So, all right. So, have you... Well, we're still. The election's in May, right? So
it's in May.
So we're not that far away. Okay. Have you met this person? Have you? Has there been a dialogue, a debate, or anything like that? Is anything? Because I know there was something for first, second, and third ward. There's something set up for first, second, and third ward candidates, but I didn't hear anything about fourth ward through sixth ward.
Well, you know what, Ron? What it is that I think they were waiting for everyone to get certified, and that wasn't until March 9th.
Yeah, that was 19 people.
So it's 19 now. So that's all they were waiting for everyone to get certified. What they're going to do is start having whoever's going to do debates, they're going to start putting them out now. I know the one that you saw with 1, 2, and 3, they're in March, 4, 5, and 6 is in April. So, but the city council has a televised debate that they do too. And then you're probably going to have some debates coming from like the NAACP. I can see that, see them doing some of the fraternity groups or sororities will do a debate. But we did have a conversation with Justin Rucker. And, you know, I explained to him the role, because most time I think people don't understand sometimes the role. They call us legislators. But besides being a legislator, you first must be a community person. And when I say be a community person, there's things that has to be done in the community to say, why should I vote for Ruby Cotton? And one of the things that I have continued under the Councilwoman Ames is the Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. I just finished my 36th year of doing that. There's going to be so many other things that's going to come up, and even partnering with all those other organizations out there that do programs and do services that the community needs. So I say to everyone, we all need it. So we did have a conversation. He has not gotten back to me, so I'm assuming he's going to run. But he needs to understand, too, the work that is around. And I know I'm a legislator, but before becoming a legislator, you have to be a community person. You need to understand what your community looks like, what they basically need. And you got to do your best to help them no matter what it is. Because 75% of my calls are not about being a legislator. More of my calls are being about 75% of how I can help someone, or they're looking for some help, or they need me to send them somewhere, or they need me to make a phone call or something to that effect. So once people can understand that, and it's about returning calls, and I just want to read some statistics to you that I have done.
Read it, yeah.
Right.
All right, y'all listen up to
and then let me tell you, I've been elected since 2012, and I have given out, I'm in my eighth year now. I have given out over 9,000 business cards. I have taken over 29,000 phone calls. I'm averaging 10 calls a week. And like today alone, I probably got 15 today. And that means there's 15 different things that people need for me to do or ask me to do. Ten calls a day. And so, but it's averaging more than that sometimes now, because what I find that the situation today is not like it was 15 years ago. People now, and you're finding that more people are, say, losing their job, or they're having problems with their mortgage, and they need to be sent somewhere, and they just looking for information that you'd be able to help them. I have probably to events, I have gone to over like 6,000 events, because if you see my mailbox, it's full of tickets, ad journal, they want ad journals in their books, and most of the time, most of the money is coming out of my pocket, and I would say half of my council salary goes back into my community. When I say go back into my community, doing different programs, we have Barber Park Association, where we took back the park, and we try to have events in there for the children. It's about having things for the kids to be able to come out to. Also, I have read over 9,000 ordinance, meaning that we have to vote on. We have ordinance of laws that are put in place. So there's so many that come through here that we have to vote on. And I think one of the major ones that I enjoy having is when we did the hot spots, meaning businesses shut down at midnight. Not just bars, but all businesses. And as I'm a councilwoman, I live in a hot spot. So I'm a councilwoman sitting here in a hot spot, 10th Ave and 27th Street. So that was really unbelievable. But now I just curfew being there. Now, we also did another ordinance where starting at 10 o'clock, they can't sell, if it's a liquor store, they can't sell wine and beer takeout. If it's a bar, you can sit inside, but you can't take out after 10. What I have discovered now is that they're closing at 10 o'clock. They're not waiting to 12 because they can't sell the wine and beer no more. So they're closing at 10 o'clock. What I find, and believe me, Ron, I have caught so many liquor stores and bars in my hot spot for my ward. I have 8 out of the 18 that are still open at 1 o'clock. And the only reason sometimes I know, I would get a text from one of my constituents, and then I would have to text my captain on the police department that they should be shut down. They should not be open.
So
it's important that there's certain things, like, you know, if you see things, and I say to people, if something's not going right, I do not know unless you tell me.
Yes, you told me to say something. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of people don't. But,
yeah.
But let me ask you this, Councilman, because I've always said, you know, many times on this radio program, I've always said that crime and poverty go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's happening in the Fourth Ward of Patterson happens on the border of Newark and Irvington, happens in Camden, happens in Chicago. So, I mean, do you subscribe to that where people are poor, there's going to be more crime than other places? Like, because Patterson is like a tale of two cities, because
right.
You got the Fourth Ward, then you can go down Broadway,
mm-hmm.
like, all the way down, and you think you're in Bergen County somewhere.
Right.
So, is it that poverty and crime kind of like go together, or what's your take on that?
Well, you know, with the Fourth Ward, we know that there's jobs that's needed there. And I had a reentry program in my ward, the Fourth Ward, James McGreevy, the governor. And it really was working very well. But they moved now. They're not in the Fourth Ward no more. But they were really doing their best to get those that had a record who want to make have a second chance to come out. And there's a lot of programs now, Ron, that's going into effect to help those that want to have a second chance. Because, you know, March 17th is the big day for New Jersey. March 17th is the day that if you got a record or even you're on probation, you can register to vote. And right now it's 83,000 of them that would be able to register to vote, and they would be able to vote in the May election. So to me, that's a victory that our assembly people, especially Assemblywoman Sumter, Assemblywoman Wimberly, that kind of fought with some other assembly people to put forth this bill, and the governor of New Jersey did sign it for that to happen. So March 17th is a big day. So I know that once people can feel like they can work and take care of themselves, that's why they want to raise the minimum wage at least to $15 an hour, because to make $8 an hour is too hard to take care of yourself.
So. Yeah, and the other side of that is if you're making $500 an hour, you're not going to want to work at McDonald's. I see, and this is what the lure is for our young people, because if you can make $1,500 a day, there's no way you're going to be flipping burgers for what may amount to less than $100 a day. So, I know it's a tough question to answer, but you know,
I don't think they make $1,500 a day. I believe that
maybe $15,000 a day.
Yeah, you know, but I believe that. I mean, I personally don't. I see it out there sometimes, and you know, they're really not. You know, we were known in the city of Patterson to buy $3 bag of heroin. You can go over there on Fair Street. They said you can get $3. So how many bags do you have to sell to make money selling $3 bags? But I believe now that there's more opportunities are coming out here for young people, for those that think that there's nothing, especially in the high schools now, these kids are going into the academy, they can become whatever, they can become police officers. We had really a big push with the police, the fire department, where I hosted an event and we found people to pay for the $35 to register to take the fireman test. See, those are things that, and you say to people, just let them, you know, let them take the test and see how they make out. You never know. For some reason, our children had always been told, don't be a fireman, don't be a policeman, you know. But those jobs like that takes you out of poverty. And you, after 5 years of being there, you make a really good, decent living. So we're doing our best, I believe, the community is to steer our children in the right direction. They don't have to be my child. All children are our children. So you have to steer all of them in the right direction. So I live right there on 27th Street. I know kids walk down the street and they'll say to their mom, my teacher lives here. And then they'll say to me, no, she don't. And I'll say, yes, she do. My daughter's a school teacher. And that we live right here in this block with you too. And so people love to see that, I find. They like to see you come out. They like to see you in the neighborhood. They like to see you in the grocery store. They like to see you walking downtown. I remember someone said, I always see you downtown, Councilwoman. And I do. When I go to City Hall, I go downtown, I'll just walk around for a little while, just so people can just see you, and I think that is so very important.
So yeah, I think so too. So now, there was a very controversial piece of the ordinance with the call to worship. You know, and there was quite a few people that were very upset about that because, you know, because I think Councilman Kalik, is that his name, Kalik?
Right.
Compared it to church bells. Now, church bells only ring once on Sunday.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
It's the only time you hear. Now, I don't live in my Patterson anymore. I spent 13 years in Patterson. Mm-hmm. I don't live there anymore. But I was a constable in Patterson, and I spent a lot of time in the community room at the council. I spent a lot of time sitting there building my radio brand. And yeah, so there were quite a few people who were really upset about that. So just take me, you know, I don't know. I'm not, you know what? I didn't even try to find out how you voted. I don't even know.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know how you voted. So I can't say that you voted for it. But
well, you know what, Ron? It was brought to us 4 weeks ago, but the first version had the hard in it and the. It was completely different from the second version. I have a master's in my fourth ward, and I asked them, have they ever had a problem with, and I hear it sometimes. If I'm in that area, I can hear when it's time for their prayer. They said they never had a problem. My understanding still was, why are we bringing this up if no one in the entire city ever had a problem? We have a big one on Durham Avenue off of Broadway. He wasn't even informed. My belief is that if you're going to bring something forward, that's going to affect the community, you should have had a big community meeting first and bring in all the religions. And I said, we need to hold off on this, have more dialogue of how this is going to affect this whole community. And it was not done that way. So it passed with a 5-4 vote. Everyone, if to me, the biggest Muslim temple on Broadway and Durham Avenue, is that he did not know the imam over there. So how do you just do, say, one part and don't bring the whole community? Because whenever, and I can attest, my husband has helped me so many times when I want to have a meeting or something, he would help me pass out the flyers, and we would do it in a 10-block area. If we're targeting a certain area for a community meeting, we'll put out the flyers in that block. Where we did the, I know when we did the liquor store, we had the problem with the liquor store, was shut down, now another one's there. We put the flyers out in the 10-block. To me, sometimes you have to do hand in hand. You can't, everybody's not on Facebook, everybody's not on the computer. They don't know nothing until they look in your mailbox and they see something. Oh, councilman's having a meeting. You know, I need to go to this meeting. Like, give them ample time. That wasn't done to me for this ordinance that got through. So my vote was a no vote because I said, let's get more dialogue. Let's talk a little bit more to the other pastors, because we have over 500 churches in the city of Patterson. And we have so many that, and everyone, and the only one that was there that wanted to was the Muslim temple that wanted that. The other, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Christians, none of them thought that it was never needed. So their answer sometimes was, well, something may happen. Well, nothing has happened in the 60 years I've been there. I can see the cop going there and say, I'm going to give you a ticket because you're praying too loud. I just can't understand why they would do that. So, but it's still passing. A lot of people are still upset. They really are. They're still upset.
Because my thoughts, I didn't speak about it before. So what happens, you know how we like to get down at the barbecue, you know what I mean? You know how we like to play our music at the barbecue, you know, do our little dance.
Yeah.
And now, so what happens, my question was now, what happens when, are the police going to go to folks' houses and say, look, you need to turn your music down? And they're going to be like, wait a minute, you know, mm-hmm. you absconded on the noise ordinance,
right,
in order to allow this particular religious group to broadcast their call to prayer. Now, I don't have nothing against nobody.
No.
You know, I do me, you
mm-hmm.
do you.
Mm-hmm.
But my thinking was that was going to be the problem because, you know, black folks and minorities, we like to play music loud in the backyard.
Well, before years ago, maybe about 2 years ago, we had to resend the ordinance for noise. Now people don't have to apply for a permit when they're having a block. When they're having a block party, they can only they still have to apply to close the block down, but they still can have a block party. They're saying the decimal points of how high the music, how high it's going to be. But what I find that, and I say to neighbors, like, if I'm having a party, I try to let my neighbors know I'm having a special party.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we have, believe me, Ron, we have people that party every weekend. And so that's why during the summer months, we have what we call a quality of life car, a police that goes out to the homes that's playing loud music. Like, and you know, they'll play at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And that's what happened with the liquor store. They leave the liquor store, leave the bar, and they sit by the bar for another 2 more hours, meaning they don't go home until 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's why that hot spot really helped out a lot. But the noise is still going to be controlled, but see, we're not sure what's going to happen when the call of prayer comes. We're really not sure.
Well, I can tell you right now, some folks really are saying, I know there's so many messages up there. I promise y'all, I will get to you. But in case you don't know who this lady is, this is Patterson 4th Ward Councilwoman Ruby Cotton, who's up for re-election, to be a third term in May. And, Justin Rucker, because of the equal time law, I have to reach out to him to see if he wants to come on the Ron Kelly show.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
And then you have another candidate in there, too.
There's somebody else?
Yeah, somebody else is in there. Lord, yeah.
Well, you know, they're gonna have to meet the quota though. I mean, you know how the presidential candidates, they have to have so much before they gotta meet the criteria before they can come. I'm not gonna bring just anybody on my show.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna have to meet the criteria. So for whoever, like as far as like in terms of popularity and polling and stuff like that, because I can find out who's who.
Right.
So we'll, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll bring him on. Yeah. Who knows?
I find that, Ron, that being an elected official to me is very rewarding. Because back in the day, I think about our ancestors back in the day, and I just want people to understand that back in the day, we didn't know nobody to call. I want kids to know they know the councilwoman. I want the adults. I want the community. We weren't privileged back in the day of being able to reach out and touch. And now I want them to be able to feel they can reach out and touch because it's so important for us. And, you know, our issue, we have so many other issues that we need to concentrate on. Like I would say to my husband, like, we need to be on some of those major boards for the state of New Jersey where we can get some of those major jobs for our community. Those are things that we need to be trying to get to the next level. And I say being a council person is rewarding for people so they can understand it and so they know who it is and they know how I feel about things. And I remember I used to work, there's about 4 or 5 seniors that's constantly calling me. And sometimes I think it's just because they just need to talk to someone. Sometimes. And you just have to find time just to listen to people because they have a lot of things on their mind. They're going through a lot. And if nobody don't sit down and listen to them, I know that's not my role, but I'm making it my role too, besides being a legislator. You know, like when I first came on the city council, Ron, they had stopped the first-time home buyers program. So Councilman McCoy and I were able to get that started back again, first-time home buyers. They also had stopped the program where people can go out and get money to fix their house. If they live in it like 7 years, then it doesn't have to be paid back. So we were able to get back those things that had stopped, and we were able to put that back in place for people. We started the rent leveling board back again because I get more calls about people trying to raise rent, and you can't go past that 5% for regular and 3.5% for seniors. But if they do not know, then landlords will do what they need to do. What I find is that there's so many things that we need to concentrate on too to make sure that we all, and even with the CDG money, community development money, some of our organizations were not included. You know, I would say myself and Councilman McCoy really worked hard to make sure some of these community groups that I see serving the community all the time were added back in there to get some of that CBG money because it's so important. You see the role that they're playing in the community. And I would say, you know, they deserve to get money too. So there's a lot of things that people sometimes don't seem to understand, but it's so important.
Yeah, and the council, present company excluded, the council is not going to be the same as it is right now after May. That you can take to the bank. Take that to the bank.
And let me tell you something, Ron. I'm telling you, if some of us are not put back on that city council, some of them laws that we did put in place are going to be rescinded.
Yeah, some people
see it coming now.
Some of the people who are there now, I'm not going to say who. We can discuss that off the radio. But there's a couple of people who I would bet that they're not going to be there. Not that I wouldn't want them to be there now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be some people missing in May. Present company excluded, everybody. All right, we'll take a quick break and wrap this thing up. 15 minutes left to the program. We'll take a quick break and we'll, you know, we'll approach a couple more things and we'll take this, we'll wrap this puppy up I'll get to it. I can't think of his name right now who was talking about Bernie should, yeah, and I'm going to get to that too. I'm going to, because I know y'all want to hear me talk about some other stuff. So I'll get to that too. We'll take a quick break and come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
Very good. Anything
on the- We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offender rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All righty then, we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, for Thursday. It's March 12th already? Wow. The time is just flying by. And the whole world is going to be shut for the summer. So you think about going on vacation, cancel it. Anyway, I'm here with Patterson, 4th Ward Councilwoman. Why don't you think of Bear Ain't? Ruby Cotton.
I hope she's watching the
Yeah, and hopefully a former councilwoman for the 4th Ward, Vera Ames, who was councilwoman for long time. She was councilwoman for more than 20 years.
26 to be exact.
Yeah, and I remember when they tried to, I was so mad about that when she retired and they tried to mess with her pension. Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on now, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that woman served
when
city
she went to court, the judge,
years.
Yeah, the judge said she has done too much for.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
her
come,
to
on.
Yes.
Come on, come on, that was so sickening. I mean, plus she's, you know, she wasn't in the best of health even back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just people just trifling. Anyway, it is 12 hours. My special guest is the 4th Ward Councilwoman from the great city of Paterson, New Jersey. She goes by the name of Ruby Cotton. For some of you who are watching in different parts of the country, you know, and what happens here happens everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the situation in the black community. Now, and as I said, somebody's going to reach out to me to get in touch with Justin Rucker.
Okay.
I'm going to have to,
yeah.
You know, put him on a program. And I will put him on the program and, you know, and I'll, you mm-hmm. know, I'll ask him the questions that I need to ask him. You know, and like I said, I have my thoughts, but you know, my thoughts will be my thoughts. All right, 12 minutes left, and mm-hmm. and we just had the Super Tuesday, Councilwoman.
Yeah.
Just had Super Tuesday, and I know you guys, even though you're on a local level, but you still pay attention to what's going on nationally. And we had the Super Tuesday, and Biden came back from the dead and just destroyed everybody, just like Godzilla. and destroyed everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so is New Jersey a Biden state, do you think? Or
you know what? That was the question, whether it's going to be Biden or Bernie Sanders. I believe that it's going to be a Joe Biden.
Yeah, Bernie scares me.
Yeah.
I'm frightened of Bernie.
Yeah, I believe that it's going to be a Joe Biden state for it.
Because everything can't be free.
Right.
Everything can. Some stuff you got. I mean, I like rich.
Right.
You know, I don't have a problem with rich. I want to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems like they Bernie has an issue with billionaires and I don't have an issue with Bloomberg spending all that money. You know.
Okay. Right.
I like money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that if you live in America, you should be able to go forward and get as much as you can get. I mean, I don't mean stepping on people's necks in order to get to it, but I think that, you know, this is a great society, you know, despite its problems. It's a capitalist society, and that's what we do. We make money. That's
well,
what we do.
Well, Ron, they was really wanted to make sure that they paid a fair share of taxes, too, because, and for example, just the Social Security tax alone, you know, it's capped at $275,000. So once you make $275,000, you don't pay no more. So those are things that, you know, if you make $1 million, pay on $1 million. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
I keep that in mind.
Right.
So you when know, I make my first $1 million, I'll be saying,
you know,
okay.
So it's capped at, I mean, it's capped. So that's what you know, they were trying to push the millionaire tax in our state. I don't think it really hasn't gone anywhere, but because they're able to deduct more. They're able to write off more than we're able to write off.
But wouldn't Murphy, because he's a millionaire, wouldn't he have to pay more taxes? Because he is a millionaire.
Yeah, and he would have to.
Many times
and,
over.
And he's done, and he has recommended it. You know, it to instill the millionaire tax.
That's very nice of him.
Yeah, it did.
To push a tax is going to cost him a few dollars.
Right.
Very nice. Wow. Yeah, so we got that going on, and you know, I watched Trump last night, and I mean, it's not that I don't like him or anything like that. You know, but when I watch TV, I watch a lot of political news. And I watch, because I'm an analyst and because I've been trained in broadcast journalism. So when I watch the news, I don't watch it the same way everybody else watches it. I watch it because, I mean, I watch it, first of all, because every time I watch the news, I'm studying. Right. Because when I come on the radio, I have to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I watch it from different angles, body language, you know, what the person actually says based on what I already know. And I'm watching Trump last night and I'm like, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, like we're in trouble. So, but I did hear that the state legislature or higher ups in the state of New Jersey had pledged their support for Joe Biden. For president of the United States of America. And but don't you think that it's time we start leveraging our vote? Because because Joe Biden was dead until he got to South Carolina. He got down there, got some fried chicken and some biscuits, collard greens, and got him a good meal, and then he's been flying ever since.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Joe Biden is, you know, associated with President Obama. I think people maybe believe that he's going to be kind of helping him some kind of way. I don't know, but people is looking at Joe Biden as being able to. But see, I can't watch Trump. You know who watches Trump? My husband watched MSNBC all the time and CNN, and because I can't sometimes watch it either.
No, I watch Fox News. Yeah. Watch the other side.
Right,
so
I watch it every now and then, but just, he's over there doing that. Eddie watches it a lot because it makes you feel bad that you have a president of the United States that talks like that. And you know what makes me angry too, when you hear when they pass that lynching law, and you still have four senators who voted no, you know, to keep it in there. Now, how can your mindset be like that to do that?
Yeah, they represent some really anti Black racist districts, but I think that President Obama was, you know, because people were saying, people were even asking me, because I get people emailing me and stuff asking me questions like, I know so much, but I appreciate everybody who does. But I think what the president did, former President Obama did, was very smart to not come out for Biden just yet. Mm-hmm. Let Biden. Let Biden get the nomination on his own, and once he gets the nomination and starts running, then Obama will come out. And I think that was very smart of the former president, to do that. But I do think, you know, and I've said this many times in my radio program, that we need to start leveraging our vote, because every 4 years we come out and we vote for these people. Even with Obama now, Obama didn't come down the chimney with a big bag of toys either. So, in every year we vote, you know, as far as presidents are concerned. Like I said, you know, Jim Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina, saved Joe Biden, saved him. Mm-hmm. You know, because once he got South Carolina, he got Mississippi, he got, you know, so many other states just went along, you know. So I think we need to start leveraging on a national level.
Right.
We need to start, you know, what's in it for me?
Yeah, we have to, you know, I think what happened is that we never really, like, we need to start pushing harder for those that we elect in the higher level.
Right.
You know, you have to do more for our community And just don't come in and think that we're going to vote for you and then you walk away, because we need just as much as they need. We need things in our community. We need things. We need to be able to send someone to the next level, too, to help us. So don't just take us, because even like I remember when Hillary Clinton was running, she didn't come into the Black community too much.
She didn't come into the Black community at all.
I know. She didn't put her posters out.
She wasn't nowhere.
We have to like say, okay, we are important. We're gonna show you that we're important. So that's how we have to start strong arming like the other cultures does. They strong arm.
That's right. Because what happened with Biden in the white areas, white people, I mean, they did eventually. Shout out to the white people who's watching and who listen on the radio. But the white people, like Vermont, and some people didn't like Biden. Mm-hmm. He didn't get no votes.
Right.
But he went down, you know, to collard green country, and that's when Michigan and other mm-hmm. places, he got those places,
yep.
You know, just abundance of white folks in Michigan. But is that the Black vote is important. Every year they mention the Black vote.
Right.
They don't mention the Jewish vote. They don't mention the Latino. They talk about the Black folks vote.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we vote for these people. And every year, you know, we get left holding the bag, empty bag, you know. So I think that, you know, going forward, before we vote for these people, we need to get with them and say, look, all right,
mm-hmm.
not extortion or anything like that. You're not blackmailing them. Mm-hmm. But we're just saying, look, you know, every year we vote for you people and we don't get anything back.
Right.
So what's in it for us?
And that's what we're going to have to, you know, not too long ago, I went down to Washington, D.C., and I was able to meet some of the Congress people. And I really enjoyed meeting Representative Clyburn out of South Carolina, where he was actually married in the city of Patterson 60 years ago. I find that me as an official city, that's at the low level, to reach out to the higher ups to let them know who
local
I am.
Level.
Right, let them know who I am. So when they hear the name Ruby Cotton, they'll know who Ruby Cotton is. She represents the city of Patterson. So you got to go to we got to go to Washington. You got to be able to mingle with, say, our state senators, our state assembly people. You know, we're really good friends with Congressman Bill Pascarell. We helped him to get over there in the Congress.
He was a guest on our show, too.
Even as a local council person, I feel that I still need to be out there, and I need to let them know. I'm constantly telling Congressman Pascarell, we need more money for affordable housing to come down in our city, and we need this. You know, me as a councilwoman, I have to keep saying that to him, this is what we need. U.S. Senator Mendez, you know, it was our community.
He got fired because.
He understood. And I said to him even a couple times, like, don't forget how you got back in there again. Please don't forget.
He didn't get me, but he called into the radio station. And I didn't know he was going to call into the radio station. We got the equal time law, and I didn't offer a tour of Sony. So that's how, you know, I mean, I got my job back in the program director got fired.
Right.
Okay, we got about 60 seconds left, everybody. Matter of fact, why is it saying 60 seconds? It's supposed to be a minute and 15 seconds. But anyway, everybody, it's been a pleasure, Councilwoman. Fourth Ward Councilwoman Ruby Cotton from the great city of Patterson, New Jersey, has been my special guest. Right chair. That's how they say here, down south, chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I would just like to say, if I can, I'm Councilwoman Ruby Cotton of the Fourth Ward. I enjoy being a councilwoman. I want to share everything with you. I want to be reelected again. Please, you are important to me. As I said, together we can make a difference. We together. I always use the word we, so I'm looking forward to you. One thing you can say about Councilwoman Cotton is that I am dedicated, I am committed, and I'm accessible. So please reelect me back to the 4th Ward City Council in the city of Patterson. Thank you.
I agree. All right, everybody. It's 24 seconds left of the program. Okay, anyway, everybody, we see you back here bright and early, 7 o'clock at night, right here on the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com and on Facebook Live as well. So until then, everybody, I'd like to say that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I'm out of here.
Thank you, Ron. I enjoyed that.
Me too.
I sure did, huh? Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Me too.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, I think you need to have him on.
I was here.
Oh,
was
I'm sorry. What you gotta do now?
Yeah.
Oh, you, and they will get mad because you didn't even ask them. You didn't even go back there.
I didn't ask nothing.
I know.
I'll wrestle next week.
Yeah, you'll wrestle with them, right?
Because I saw.
What you saw? You said Emmanuel Capers.
Capers was there. I saw Civil Ass.
But you know what? But you know what happened? My husband saw you posted something on Facebook, right?
Yeah,
that Councilman Cott was gonna come on. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Know.
You know what, Ron? I can't walk around with my phone in my hand. My husband don't seem to understand that. Like,
I know.
I know. So, no, and see what happened was Eddie said he saw it when you posted that.
Yeah, I posted it.
On okay.
And see, Ron and Bernard, we met with Jeff, Ernie, and Ernie's son. First of all, let me just say this. The whole thing started off with a lie. He told the reporter, this is Justin, that, oh, yeah, I voted for Councilman McCott in 2012, and I voted for Del Fisher in 2016. Lie. He got his record from the Board of Elections. He never voted until 2018. He just registered in the 4th Ward, October 2018. In the chat. So here's a guy that's been here a year, hasn't been to one function that we've had in Patterson. You know, he's been to nothing. Thanksgiving, Kwanzaa, a celebration, opening up the park, Martin Luther King. All, he's been to nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what you want to put on that media price. You know what I mean?
Marty Barnes, when he